Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, it's another edition of Tell Al Tuesday. So if you're new to the show, this is an opportunity for you to learn, not necessarily from me, but from somebody else who is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, who will share their story, their journey with you. Because we think it's absolutely important that you understand that you are not alone out there. You see, the members of Lifestyles Unlimited, they come to us because they get to a certain point in their life where they realize that I'm not sure what I'm doing is really working out for me. And my guest today, he had that epiphany. You see, we have a longtime member in our organization. His name is John Ridgway. He used to be one of our mentors for a very long period of time. And then he retired himself from retiring himself. And that's actually a cool place to be in. But John Ridgway got to know my guest. And he knew this guy because this guy was actively engaged in property management. And not any kind of property management. We're talking big, ginormous property management companies. I mean, he managed tens of thousands of units at any given time. So he was well-versed in the operational side of real estate. But John finally asked him one question one day that it hit a nerve. And basically what John asked my guest was this: what are you planning to do in retirement? And when my guest answered, John's response was this: so you hope that you don't live longer than your money. And when you come to realize that what you're doing for retirement, it's either working or it's not working, and then you realize that if you're on the not working side of the equation, you got to change direction. You have to do something differently. So on today's show, my guest had that epiphany. He changed the direction of his life. He went from the pure operational side, making a lot of money for a lot of people, to the ownership side of real estate. And he brought with him that impressive skill set of being able to operate real estate properties. He got to work, and he has been doing great things. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Robert. Hey, Robert, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, man, it's always good to talk to you. I mean, for me, it's really neat to talk to somebody who made a career in the industry that I am actively engaged in, because somebody like you can, you know, help a guy like me with information. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to share information with the audience, and we're going to let them know that it's okay to challenge what you're doing. So tell me about that story between you and John Ridgway. What was going on at that time?
Well, John and I kind of grew up in the industry together, and I don't think you'll mind me sharing this because I've said it to other people, but we both kind of went on the path where we worked for a company and then the portfolio gets sold. And it's like, hey, thanks for working for us. If you want to move to upstate New York, we have whatever. But so you find yourself unemployed for 4 months, 6 months until you find another job. You burn through your savings and you kind of start over and you're like, okay, this time. And we both kind of kept doing that. And then somewhere along the way, and we were both involved with department associations and executive committees, stuff like that. So that's where we got to really know each other and become friends. But for probably 8 to 10 years, he kept trying to talk to me about this thing called lifestyles. Always of the mindset, the bigger the company, the better. That's what I want to work for. I want to be able to say I work for XYZ. And at some point, they're going to make me a partner because I do such a great job. Well, that's not how the industry works, and it took me a long time to figure that out. But to answer your question, we were actually at a Texas Apartment Association golf tournament, and we're standing waiting to tee off. And like, if you know John, he's always selling lifestyle, talking up lifestyle. He's like the disciple. It's the book of John, lifestyles. He's always, you know, it's his epistle. He's always talking about lifestyle. And I've been hearing this for 8 years. I'm like, John, I get it. But he did. He asked me that question. What are you going to live on when you retire? I'm like, John, my savings, my home equity, my 401k. And yeah, and he said, so you hope you don't live longer than your money. And I don't know why, but that was finally, after 8 years of him trying to get me to see the light, that was the light bulb moment for me.
So if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when that event occurred?
I was probably mid-50s, like 54.
Okay. You know, and the reason I bring that up is we have people that are listening to us right now that are in the exact same boat you and I have been in. For me, I mean, I was the age of 52 when I kind of had that epiphany and I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. So you and I joined the organization about the same time. I joined in 2017, as did you. And we both had very different backgrounds and experiences. I mean, you came from the real estate industry. I didn't. I came from the military industrial complex, if you will. But we both had the same problem, and we both came to Lifestyles Unlimited to address that problem. So here's the question I've got for you. When I went into the 2-day financial freedom seminar, which is the course that all of us take as new members, I saw a completely different light as to what I was doing for investing. What was different for you?
Couple of things. I mean, I don't trust the stock market because I feel like I'm a puppet and other people are just pulling the strings on what they want to have happen. So that didn't make me comfortable.
Hey, Robert, we're going to break. Of course, I asked you one of those level 5 questions with, you know, a couple seconds left. So I'm going to counsel myself at the break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get back into that answer because this is important information you need to hear. Stick around.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I have a great guest on today for Tell Al Tuesday. And this gentleman, his name is Robert. He's been in the apartment industry for a very long period of time. So when he became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, the first thing he had to do was go through our financial freedom course, because everybody has to take that training so that we all have the same baseline of information to move forward with. That's a very important step. So one of the things that kind of pings in the back of my mind is, if somebody has spent an entire career in the apartment industry managing and operating properties for many, many years, what could they possibly learn by coming to Lifestyles Unlimited and taking our financial freedom course? And Robert was starting to give me the answer, and I realized that we were out of time. So, Robert, if you'd like to pick up the story, I am very interested in hearing your answer.
Well, the property management side of it, honestly, is just one piece of it. You know, I ran large companies, so I had accounting departments. I had HR departments. I didn't know the brokerage community because I wasn't out actively, personally trying to buy properties myself. Somebody else bought them and then said, here, Robert, go make me money. So there's a whole lot, the tax consequences. There's just a whole lot of pieces of it that, frankly, I didn't have any knowledge of or interest in the past because somebody else handled that for me or for the owner. So that was a big learning curve for me. I've been the chair of the National Apartment Association PAC committee, raising millions of dollars. So I thought, oh, I can do that. No problem. This will be easy. It's not easy. I needed the lifestyles community of like-minded investors who had similar thought, similar education, and similar expectations. So I've said my entire career that one thing I love about property management is I learn something new every single day. It never gets old. But definitely jumping to the owner side, it's just been really fun to see how much more there is to learn.
So what was the big thing that you had to deal with right away as far as, you know, coming out of that professional side and into the ownership side? What was that thing staring you right in the face?
I think probably I knew enough to be scared. And what I mean by that is like liability stuff, insurance stuff. So I had a little bit of a head start in that sense, but also enough of a head start and knowledge to keep me awake at night. You know, like, oh, crud, now this, what liabilities are on me? So that was probably some of the first things we tackled, and, you know, hopefully well enough, that was to get kind of the house set up. And again, as I mentioned before, if I had an accounting issue, I'd call the accounting department. Well, suddenly it's like, oh, I'm calling me. And building up my team of CPAs and building up my team of the attorneys in the brokerage community and making those contact that, frankly, I couldn't have done without lifestyle.
So when you started your investing strategy, did you consider doing single-family properties, or were you focused strictly in the multifamily space?
Multifamily for me, just because of my background, that's what I know. And I don't know if I said this or not, but I mean, the stock market scares me in that I feel like I'm a puppet being with other people controlling the strings. I've done fee management myself. I've worked for fee managers, and I know enough about property management that I didn't really trust other people to be managing my assets and my reputation. So I wanted to jump into what I knew, and that's multifamily, and I wanted to jump in to a larger size so that I could hire bigger staff. It's a lot easier to me to manage a 200-unit property or even a 500-unit property than it is to manage a 50-unit property. So that was my goal all along, to go in the multifamily route.
So tell me about the first deal that you went after. What was the deal, and why did it work for your strategy?
It was 120 units, which I've been told was one of the larger, if not the largest, first-time lead deal that Lifestyles, at least locally, had done. That's probably because I was just not as smart as a whole lot of other people. But I figured out, again, economies of scale, staffing and everything else, it was going to be easier on me than a 12-unit deal, and I'm getting the call at 3 in the morning about the toilets back up. I could have paid staff that did that. So that was my strategy on that one. We owned it. We bought it. We increased the rents over 37%, and we sold it 24 months later for, if I remember right, a 56% gain.
That's not bad for a first-time deal. I mean, you know, if I'd given you, what, $100,000 in 2 years, you would have given me back $156,000, not to mention the cash flow that property was producing.
Right.
Wow. That's
right.
That's not bad. Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not too aware of any other first-time leads that have gone after a big property. And I consider big 100 units or more. So as far as I know, you still have the prize.
That may just be because other leads are smarter than me, I'm not gonna brag on that one.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you. Where did the money come from to invest in that property? Did you just like get a shovel and go dig up, you know, jars of cash out of your backyard?
You mean for my personal piece of it?
For the whole thing. I mean, did you finance the whole thing, or did you, you know, bring in all the cash yourself? Did you bring in partners? How did you do that particular deal?
Definitely with partners. And I think I might have said this, but when I chaired NAA PAC and I went out and raised millions of dollars for PAC, a political action committee, I thought, if I can do that, I can get friends and family and connections to invest in real estate that's going to make us money, because by golly, they're going to look at me and my experience and go, yes, Robert, we want to give you money. That's not how it works. I realized people would see me and go, oh gosh, there's Robert again, run. So that didn't go so well for me. This is all after I went to the 2-day lifestyle seminar. I thought, I can do this on my own. Well, no, I couldn't. So I went through, I became a lead, got certified, did the training. And Lifestyles is such a club of like-minded people. One of the things that is so cool about it and beautiful about it, there's not a backstabbing, I'm going to make myself look better at your expense. It's everybody trying to make the boat rise higher for everybody else. And I can't tell you how many other lead investors, we're always on the phone with each other. We're always on emails with each other saying, how do you handle this? How do you do that? I was a little scared when I first joined because I thought it might make me look stupid. And I realized very quickly, nobody feels that way. Everybody is like, has a hunger to learn, and everybody has a hunger to share and help each other. I mean, it's just a very unique community in that sense.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, the culture that we have at Lifestyles Unlimited is, man, it's awesome. I mean, I thought I was a part of a really good culture when I was in the Army. I was a part of a really good culture. But then you join an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited, and, you know, you expect it to be a little backstabbing like you mentioned. Man, it wasn't any of that. We come back from the break. We're going to get more into the details. Stick around.
It comes a point in time every now and then when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do you do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Robert on the show with me today. Robert is a phenomenal real estate investor. Now, he didn't start off that way. He actually started off managing and operating huge portfolios of multifamily real estate. He had a very good understanding of one aspect of real estate investing. But when you come to Lifestyles Unlimited, we teach you that there's more than just that operational piece. As a matter of fact, we teach you what you need to know to become the owner and the orchestrator of those real estate deals. So that's one of the things Robert picked up on. He got the rest of the formula, and when he got that information, he went to work investing his money into real estate assets. So Robert, talk me about that second deal you did. Now, when you picked up that second property, did you buy it while you still owned the first one, or did you wait until that first one was gone before you moved to the second?
We bought the second one probably 6 to 8 months after that, and that's kind of been the clip we've gone at so far. And I probably look at 35 to 40 deals before I find one that, like, ooh, this could make sense. It excites me. So we sold the first one, as I mentioned, after 24 months, but the four we have bought since then, we have owned as we continue to buy more.
So your current model has you buying a property about, I don't know, every half year to three quarters of a year. Is that about right?
Yeah, about three quarters of a year to a year, yeah.
Okay. Now, is that based on the fact you're stabilizing the previous property, or is it just taking you that time to find the right deal that makes sense to you and your investors?
It's more the latter. We get our deals stabilized really quickly because of our experience. So I can comfortably take something over much more quickly. I worked for one company where we were taking over 4 to 5 properties all over the country every single month. So that trained me on, you've got to have systems in place. You've got to be able to have a team in place to go do it. But we want to do things to a good scale. I don't want to get big. I don't want to get in this sloppy market, buy something just to buy it. It's got to make sense for me. And the joke I tell my investors all the time is, I'm only as good as my last deal. My reputation is only as good as my last deal. They may forget, you know, that, well, man, Robert's first deal made 56% gain in 24 months. But, man, that last deal, that's what they remember. So we want to be slow and steady and very methodical and hopefully buy, you know, for the long term. I mean, one of the big ways you make money in real estate is the valuations going up. So if you can buy something today for $10 million, it's worth $15 million in a couple of years. Well, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, even a simple Army man like me can figure out that that's a pretty good return on investment. So what metrics do you look for when you're trying to find your next property?
I mean, we want good workforce housing in the Metroplex, typically. I like to say that it needs to be, I want it to be about 2-hour either drive time or air time. So we're really focusing right now on just DFW and not going out to the Austins or the secondary markets. I've had properties in secondary markets, and then the major employer leaves town or the military gets called into action, and suddenly your occupancy drops to 60%. So I don't really have an interest in that. So I'm looking at good workforce housing because people always need a place to live. I think if you give good quality management, people are always wanting a good place to live, not only for themselves but for their kids. They want to be able to go to decent schools. So if you can find that kind of housing at a good, decent price, you buy it all day long because there's a critical shortage of housing in our country. And it's not going to get cured tomorrow or anytime soon. And I really have a kind of a servant's heart. I want to help customer service, help people have a better life. So I really enjoy buying that workforce housing where we can go in and improve the quality of the management, help people to do better than maybe they were doing before.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. And I'll tell you that Dallas market, I think that somebody has lit a fire underneath that market and they continue to fan that fire. I mean, what are your thoughts on that Dallas market?
Everything I read, if it's not number one, it's in the top 2 to 3 of in migration from everywhere else in the country. And literally, when you're driving down the highway, probably one out of every 5 or 6 license plates you see are going to be from out of state, maybe 1 out of 10, but still, I mean, from all over the country, Michigan, California, Arizona, New York, all over, people are moving to DFW. So, again, they're not building, everybody talks about they're building 20,000, 40,000 new units. Well, that's A-plus high-rent stuff. It's not workforce housing. They're not building more workforce housing apartments, and there's just a critical shortage of that here, and it's just supply and demand is getting even more and more out of whack, even during COVID.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, I did a little research the other day, and I was just looking at the single-family markets and the fact that if you just look at single-family homes that are available for sale, if you go back to, like, 2015, there was, like, an inventory of like 2.5 million homes available for sale nationwide. And if you look at today's numbers, we're looking at 468,000. And that tells me that there's not a lot of places for people to live, and people that want to come here don't necessarily have the ability to buy because there may not be anything for them to buy. So what do they wind up doing? They rent. And who provides them great housing? Guys like you and I, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it kind of solves some of the problem as far as finding great residents, right?
Yeah, and I definitely, if I'm going to be investing in real estate, would rather be investing in those kind of dynamics than, say, office or hotels right now. So, yeah, it just makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question about screening residents, because that's a big fear that people have about real estate investing. They think, oh, man, I just don't want to deal with residents. I don't want to deal with them. You know, what's your thought on proper screening and finding the right people for your properties?
So I was taught early on, and this applies to this and other things in property management, but for every day you allow a problem to persist, it's going to take you 3 days to fix it. So that always made me want to be more proactive about fixing the water leaks, screening the residents. Because if you get in, you've got to screen your residents well. And it doesn't matter if you're what part of town you're in. Everybody wants to live in a nice place. They want to live in a place that's taken care of. They want to have pride in home ownership. And they don't want to be living next to thugs or people playing their stereos loud at 3 in the morning when they've got to get up and go to work here in a little bit. So you've got to really screen well, and you've got to make sure that your on-site staff, what message are you sending to them? If you're screaming and stressing occupancy at all costs, well, you may get it at all costs. And what I mean by that is that they start going, well, this person's a little gray on the screening, but we're going to let them in anyway because I've got to get occupancy. You got to do it right. You got to stay true to your rental criteria for those reasons, for fair housing reasons. But if for every one bad resident, you can lose 3 or 4 good residents who just won't put up with it. And a famous story I like to tell is way back in the 80s when I started, everybody around us, this was all new development, everybody around us was giving 2 months free on a 6-month lease. And our owner, think about that, 2 months free on a 6-month lease. Our owner said, if we have to do that, I might as well give the keys back to the bank today. We're done. You can give 2 weeks free on a 1-year lease. So we're like, we can't compete with that. Long story short, we had to sell customer service. And after 6 months, we had people moving from those properties to our property because they knew we took care of it. It was a quiet place. It was a nice place.
That's good news. Good news. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into his personal life. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. You know, at one time, I thought that success was this picture of living in the biggest house that I could afford, driving the nicest car that I could afford, putting my kids in the best private school that I could afford, and to continue to try and sustain that image of a lifestyle. And then in 2008, the whole world just got ripped out from underneath my feet. And I lost that house. I didn't lose the cars because I had paid them off, but the kids had to go to private school. My personal thought of my success was devastated. I really was feeling pretty bad. But then when I came to Lifestyles Unlimited, I learned a completely different image of what success is. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to ask Robert, what does success mean to you now in comparison to what it meant to you before joining Lifestyles?
Well, before, I mean, I was very much, what kind of car do you drive? Where do you live? Very much, I'm going to say Dallas, Fort Worth, and I've always kind of enjoyed that. It's like I've got to look like the successful person, going to a meeting, what car am I driving, that kind of stuff. And join Lifestyles and the mentors who are just amazing, down to earth, incredibly intelligent people, and just amazingly helpful. But I'm going to give a shout out to Charles Ho and Alex and several other ones who just have land and have a lifestyle. And what I mean by that is they don't do the rat race every day. They work when they want to work. They work the hours they want to work, but they have nice setups. And I just thought, this is really cool. They're not working for the next paycheck, the W-2 income. they're working for their time and for their freedom. And it's just a completely different mindset. It's very liberating, and I just can't imagine ever having or wanting to go back to the rat race.
So were you doing what all of us were doing? I mean, stuffing money into retirement accounts and presenting that image of success?
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited about my 401k, all the tax-free money I'm putting in there. And then you realize what that actually, even though you thought it looked like a big number, you thought, when I actually am retired and living on that, that's not going to go that far. Not that many years, which goes back to John Ridgway's point about, well, you're going to outlive, you hope you don't outlive your money. It's like you can't save enough, unless you just live a life like an abbot and spend no money. But when you're driving those prestigious cars and have the nice big house, it's really hard to ever get ahead. You're just playing the rat race, trying to keep your head above water.
So one of the things that we tell people that are interested in joining Lifestyles Unlimited is that we can get you on a path to retirement in 5 years or less. And our definition of retirement is essentially having enough passive income coming in that it meets or exceeds your expenses of life, whatever you determine those to be. How long did it take you to hit that retirement point?
Well, that's where I would say lifestyles wide, because they say 5 years, and it took me three, actually less than three. So I jokingly say lifestyles wide, but it got me there quicker. And then when I started seeing the tax implications, and frankly, as we did a deal and it was successful, I have investors come back to me and go, when are you doing your next deal? It grew bigger and quicker than I thought it would. And it's just kind of the success is built upon the success. And it got to a point, it's like, I don't have to have that paycheck anymore. I can choose. And I kept trying to do it because I wanted to take care of the company as well. But it got quickly to a point where I had replaced that income with a completely different lifestyle.
Talk to me about transitioning away from corporate America. What was that like? And at what point did you finally pull the trigger and make that occur?
It was, very frightening because you're trained on that that middle-class thinking of the W-2 income. And it's really scary to go out and be entrepreneurial and, gosh, what if this, what if that? And I got frozen for years. I mean, John Ridgway tried to get me to join forever. I even went to the two-day thing, and it still took me at least another 4 months. And I thought, oh, this sounds like some kind of marketing thing. I don't know that I believe it. That's a lot of money to put up. It's so easy to throw obstacles in your way and say, it sounds too good to be true. All I can say is I wish I'd done it 5 or 10 years before, and I hadn't been so scared and frozen to do it. And just the wealth of education, the friendships, the mentoring you get. I'll give a quick story. When the ice age hit us in February, I lost power for 6 days at our house. 6 days, freezing cold. I had so many people reaching out to me from Lifestyles saying, I can drive down my generator to you. Do you need a place to stay? What can I do? Do you need food? Do you need water? The amazing friendships that people I didn't even know before 2017. It's just a family that would do anything to help you. It's just a great community.
Yeah, it is. It is a really, really cool group of people that we hang out with. So talk to me about how becoming a member of Lifestyles Unlimited has actually allowed you to start living the lifestyle that you've always desired. What are you doing for your lifestyle?
We were able to buy some land just south of DFW, and actually my commute is the same amount of time as it would have been from our house in the prestigious neighborhood we lived in. So that cracks me up that it's no further. But we have land on a creek, and if I get stressed, whatever, I can just walk out to the creek with my golden retriever and play around outside a little bit and come back in and work. It's at my pace. It's at my time. I can handle investor stuff on the weekends if I want to. Just not the 9-to-5 anymore. It's when I want to do it. And hopefully always feeling, my investors feeling like I'm being a good steward for them. So it's just been very rewarding.
So how many units do you currently own as far as your investments?
We're a little over 1,300.
And where are you trying to get to? What's your short-term goal and what's your long-term goal?
Well, it's funny because you asked that because when I started this journey, I thought 1,500 units would be probably enough. Now that we're at about 1,300 units, we kind of joked and went, we're having so much fun. And trust me, not every day with COVID and the eviction moratoriums is fun, but we're enjoying what we're doing. We're feeling like we're making a difference in people's lives and we're building something. So now we're talking more like, well, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 units would be funner. And so as long as this continues to be fun and not feel like work and we feel like we're making a difference, I don't have an answer for that yet.
Well, that's a good problem to deal with, isn't it?
It is a great problem.
Let me talk to you about your time obligations. I mean, how many hours were you putting in back when you were doing that corporate gig versus the number of hours you put in currently?
You know, like we talked about before, I'd say it's probably the same, but it's by choice. Whereas before, though, I had an accounting department. I had a HR department that I could delegate to or punt questions to, asset management department. Well, now it's like when I have an HR question, oh, that's me. And I have to be the one making the calls and doing the research or accounting. So it's different work, but it's much more rewarding work. And I love learning. So it's been fun and scary, but digging into those nuances. And it's also been great to have Lifestyles with a lot of other peers who are going through the same things or have already gone through the same things that I can call, I can email, and they say, oh, Robert, you need to talk to XYZ. They're an expert on this. So that makes it a whole lot easier than just out trying to do it on your own, start on your own, is that you've got this network of people that just want to help each other.
Yeah, I think the other thing is the fact that you're in control of just about everything, whereas you were at the beck and call of somebody before.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's got to be just a really cool feeling.
Yeah, and honestly, you don't have that, gosh, what if my company sells next year? Whatever. I mean, a million scenarios. I get fired. Someone else always was in control of those decisions. And now you feel in more control of, all I can do is the best I can do, but I don't have somebody looking over my shoulder in that sense. It's a very nice change.
Yeah, when you don't know what it's like to be on the other side of the fence, you just don't know. And I'm glad, Robert, that you finally listened to John Ridgway and you took the plunge. And I'm glad to have you as a member of Lifestyles Unlimited because I know you're a guy that I can call if I have any questions. And if you want to get started, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com and we'll show you how we invest in real estate. Thanks again, Robert, for your time. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.